When I was a seminary student in Escondido, California, there was a Dutch lady and her husband who often had us over for meals. And one day she looked at us and she said, "Men, last week our pastor preached to us a sermon that we'd already heard. And so when it was his birthday, I bought him last year's birthday card and I sent it to him again. And I said, 'You preach to us the same sermon, I send you the same birthday card.'" Well, today I'm going to preach something to you that you've heard before. I haven't done this in my 5.5 years in ministry here, but there are two reasons for this. One reason is because I've been asked by Modern Reformation magazine to submit for publication one of my sermons coming from the biblical theological approach, which they desire to publish. And I've been working on this all week long, polishing up this sermon, because it is a unique text that's not written about very often. And I've been polishing it up, and I've always tried to keep this congregation aware of the things that I've been doing as far as preaching other places and writing things. And the second reason is because it's Mother's Day, and this sermon is very appropriate for that occasion. And so this morning I'm going to be reading from Exodus chapter 15. Actually, for the scripture reading, I'm going to start at the end of chapter 14, because I think that will help us understand what's going on, just to familiarize yourself with these verses. So I'm going to start reading at Exodus 14, verses 29 through Exodus 15, verse 21. But our text today is Exodus 15, 19 through 21. Let us start by hearing the word of God as it comes to us from Exodus 14, verse 29. "But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. And that day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the great power the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses his servant. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord, 'I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. You unleashed your burning anger. It consumed them like stubble. By the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The surging waters stood firm like a wall. The deep waters congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy boasted, 'I will pursue, I will overtake them, I will divide the spoils, I will gorge myself on them, I will draw my sword and my hand will destroy them.' But you blew with your breath, and the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? You stretched out your right hand, and the earth swallowed them. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. The nations will hear and tremble. Anguish will grip the people of Philistia. The chiefs of Edom will be terrified. The leaders of Moab will be seized with trembling. The people of Canaan will melt away. Terror and dread will fall upon them. By the power of your arm, they will be as still as stone until your people pass away, O Lord, until the people you brought pass by. You will bring them in and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance. In place, O Lord, you made for your dwelling the sanctuary, O Lord, your hands established. The Lord will reign forever and ever. When Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought the waters of the sea back over them, but the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground. Then Miriam the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women followed her with tambourines and dancing. Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted, the horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea." Thus the reading of God's word as it comes to us from Exodus chapter 15 and 14. On the Saturday before I preached this sermon the last time, I came to the men at prayer meeting and I explained to them that we were at a transition point in the book of Exodus. God has destroyed Pharaoh and his army in Exodus 14. Moses sings his song of deliverance, for God has delivered his people from bondage and slavery at the beginning of Exodus 15. And in verses 22 through 27 of Exodus 15, we move on to the wilderness stories of the book of Exodus as the Israelites come to the waters of Marah and Elim. And because of this transition point, I told them, and because of what is revealed to us in verses 19 through 21 of Exodus 15, I told them that morning that I was going to skip the song of Miriam. Let's move on after the song of Moses and the deliverance, and let us go on to the wilderness stories of Marah and Elim. That morning, the men were disappointed. They were disappointed that we were going to skip over a portion of God's word as it is revealed to us in the book of Exodus. And so after that prayer meeting, I went home and re-examined the research that I had done on the Song of Miriam. And I quickly discovered that this was not the first time that many scholars had moved past the Psalm of Miriam with little comment. Most conservatives skip over this song and these verses because as you look at these verses, 19 through 21 of Exodus 15, very little is revealed in these verses which has not already been revealed. In verse 19 we read, "When Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought the waters of the sea back over them, but the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground." Very much the same information that we are told at the end of Exodus 14, as I read to you a moment ago. In verse 21, as we read Miriam's song, we read this. Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea." And if you look back to verse 1 of Exodus 15, we see that these words are almost the exact same words as the first verse of Moses' song. Moses sang with the Israelites, "I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea." In fact, the only thing that is new in these three verses of Exodus chapter 15 are what we are told in Exodus 15, verse 20. "Then Miriam, the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women followed her with tambourines and dancing." Conservatives conclude, it would be very hard to preach a sermon based on that one verse. But that's not the only reason that conservatives move past this particular passage and this particular song. Because of what we are told in verse 20, most conservatives are afraid to tackle such a verse. Miriam is described as a prophetess. She leads the women of Israel in song following the victory of the Lord. And in our day of women's ordination, most conservatives would rather not tackle these verses and move past them because of all the questions that will be raised. But what about the liberals? How do the liberal scholars approach this song and this particular text? Conservatives pass by it. And the starting point for the liberals is the very issue that the conservatives raise. The conservatives move past these verses and do not write much about them. And so the liberals respond and declare that the conservatives are doing that because Miriam is a woman. They proclaim in the various articles and the commentaries that they have written that conservatives have passed these verses because Miriam is a woman and because they do not want to acknowledge the significant role that Miriam plays as she sings her song. In fact, some of them go so far as to claim that the song of Miriam is actually the song of Moses. As you look at verse 19, and you see where it tells us, when Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought the waters of the sea back over them, but the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground. Some of the liberals write in their articles that this verse 19 should actually be at the end of Exodus chapter 14. And that the first verse of Miriam's song is actually the first verse of Moses' song. In other words, we should take these three verses and put verse 19 at the end of Exodus 14 and verses 20 and 21 at the beginning of the song of Moses. One of these liberal scholars has put it this way: conservatives in the church have taken the words of Miriam's song right out of her mouth and have credited it to Moses because he is a man. In other words, Moses' song is really Miriam's song, is the point they're making. Well, as I re-examined my research and read these various things based upon this passage, I came to the conclusion that neither side is correct. We should not go the route of conservatives and skip over a portion of God's word, the song of Miriam, as if it isn't there. We should not go the route of the liberals and change the text of the Bible because God's word is God's word. God's word is holy. God has written it this way, and God doesn't make mistakes. God's word is infallible and inerrant. And so what do we do with these verses on the song of Miriam? Well, let's take a closer look at our text once again. In verse 19, again we read that when Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought the waters of the sea back over them, but the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground. This is a narrative portion of Scripture. Previously in this chapter 15, we are reading poetry, but once again between the two songs, we are told a narrative portion of Scripture, the same thing that we are told at the end of chapter 14. But notice verse 20. Then Miriam the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women followed her with tambourines and dancing. One of the things we know about the Hebrew language is that the authors in Hebrew write in consecutive form. The verbs are in consecutive form. It's like when he writes something, he will say, this happened, And the next thing that happened was this, and the next thing that happened was this, and the next thing that happened was this. And as you seek to understand a Hebrew narrative, you seek to understand and to find the consecutive verbs so that you can understand the flow that the author is trying to get across. Well, as we look at verses 19 and 20, these verbs are in consecutive form. After Pharaoh and his horses and chariots and horsemen went into the sea, and the Lord took the waters of the sea back over them, the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground, and the next thing that happened was that Miriam took the tambourine in her hand and led the women of Israel in their song. The same thing is true with the verses at the end, with the verbs at the end of chapter 14 and the beginning of chapter 15. After the Lord destroyed Pharaoh and his army, the next thing that happened was Moses and the Israelites sang this song. The author is trying to tell us, by the way he has structured these verses, Moses is telling us that these songs likely were sang at the same time. Moses sang his song after the destruction of Pharaoh and his army, and Miriam sang her song after the destruction of Pharaoh and his army. "Sing to the Lord," she declares, "for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea." But why then? Why this particular order in our text? Why is Miriam's song placed after Moses' song? Should we declare, like the liberals do, that for some reason Miriam's song seems to be less important in our text because it comes after the song of Moses? No. God's word is equally important. One portion is not more important than another. When God speaks, all of his words are important. God has another reason for placing the song of Miriam in Exodus 15 where he has placed it. Remember where we are in our salvation story. In Exodus chapter 1, we read of the Israelites growing and multiplying as a nation. We have been reading all of this time about how God has delivered his people from slavery. Moses and Aaron have gone to Pharaoh and demanded that God let his people go. Moses and Aaron have brought the plagues of Egypt upon the Egyptians. Moses and Aaron have led the Israelites out of the land of Egypt and through the Red Sea. And now, as Pharaoh, their enemy, is destroyed, they sing this song of deliverance. And Miriam's song brackets the salvation of the Lord. It brackets the salvation of the Lord. Remember how our story began. In Exodus chapter 2, Miriam is standing by the waters. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, has made an edict that all the baby boys of Israel will be thrown into the Nile and drowned. Israel is becoming too numerous and prosperous. If they increase too much in population, they may overpower us and destroy us in Egypt. And so in Exodus chapter 2, Pharaoh makes his edict, and Moses' mother puts her son into a basket out in the waters of the Nile. Miriam is standing there, Moses' sister. She sees how Moses, her brother, is crying as he is floating away in this basket above the waters of which he is supposed to be drowned. She sees Pharaoh's daughter spy Moses crying in his basket. She watches as Pharaoh's daughter opens the basket and sees the baby crying and has compassion for the baby. And Miriam, the sister of Moses, runs to Pharaoh's daughter and says, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" she runs to get her mother. And Mary is influential in keeping her brother, Moses, the promised Savior of Israel, nursed by his very own mother. Miriam plays a significant role in the story of salvation of God's people. As the story begins, Miriam has a prominent place. Her name is revealed in Exodus chapter 2. Other names aren't revealed. Moses' mother's name is not even revealed. Pharaoh's daughter's name is not revealed. But Miriam's name is revealed. At the end of the salvation story, Miriam is again standing by the waters. This time, not the waters of the Nile, where Pharaoh's wicked edict had drowned so many Hebrew babies. She stands at the waters of the Red Sea, after Pharaoh and his army are drowned and destroyed. Miriam's story brackets the story of salvation. Miriam is prominent at the beginning of the story in her role of keeping her brother Moses, the Savior of Israel, safe so that he can deliver God's people from slavery. Miriam is significant at the end of the story. She does not appear in the next 12 chapters. But at the end of the story, we are reminded of Miriam's role in the salvation of Israel. You see how the story of Miriam is the story of salvation that brackets God's salvation of his people. The story of Miriam and the salvation of Israel from the land of Egypt brackets the salvation of God's people, as we see in the story of salvation as it is revealed to us in Jesus Christ. For at the beginning of the gospel story, we read of Mary. Mary, who is told by an angel that she will deliver a child, though she's a virgin. When Mary hears this news, she breaks out and bursts out into song at the Lord's deliverance and his promise. It is Mary who stays away from Herod's wicked edict and delivers her child, the Savior of Israel, safely and places him in a manger. At the end of the story of the Gospels, we read of the women, Mary who is there, witnessing the resurrection of our Savior, the deliverance from the tomb. As Jesus has delivered his people from sin and from death, as he has come out of the tomb, having conquered sin and death, we read of the women, Mary, who is there witnessing his deliverance. The story of Exodus is the story of the Gospels. It foreshadows the greater salvation that God will provide for his people. And as we look at Revelation chapter 15, we see that this story has one greater and mightier end. In Revelation 15, as John looks into heaven and sees the salvation that God has provided, look what he tells us in his vision. Revelation 15. I saw in heaven another great and marvelous sign. Seven angels with the seven last plagues, last because with them God's wrath is completed. And I saw what looked like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and standing beside the sea, those who had been victorious over the beast and his image and over the number of his name. They held their harps given to them by God and sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of Kings. Who will not fear you, O Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. John tells us in the book of Revelation that at the end of time, when God's wrath is complete, those who are victorious over the beast will sing the song of God's deliverance. Satan will have been destroyed. He will have been thrown into the glassy sea. And the saints who are victorious in Christ will sing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb, men and women of God. What takes place in Exodus, the salvation that God provides, the bracketing that takes place through Miriam, is a preview of the salvation that God will bring for all people. It is a preview of the salvation that God will bring through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a preview of the final salvation of God that He will provide for all believers, men and women, who are victorious in Christ. Perhaps those liberal scholars do have a point. And that point being that we should not look over the song of Miriam, nor should we downplay the importance of her role in the salvation of God's people. She has an important role. She is used by God to save the promised Savior of Israel from certain death at his foes, and providing him with the opportunity to deliver God's people. She appears at the end of the salvation story as a prophetess, a special office, a special function for a specific time and a specific place. Miriam has an important role. Miriam comes and leads the women of Israel, not the men, the women and of Israel, in song with tambourines and dancing. In fact, as you look at the words of Miriam's song, verse 21, "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted, the horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea." This song is almost the exact same words as Moses' first verse of his song. The only difference between the song of Miriam and the first verse of the song of Moses is the word "I" and the word "we." "I will sing to the Lord," declares Moses. "Sing to the Lord," declares Miriam. The song of Moses and the song of Miriam are very much the same song. But Miriam's song reflects the important role of the women in Israel in the salvation that God has provided. The Egyptian midwives refused to tell Pharaoh in Exodus 1 about the birth of the Hebrew babies, and God blessed them for their faithfulness. Miriam has a significant role in the deliverance of Moses, and God blesses her and recognizes her role. But Miriam must also remember, as she lives out her role in God's salvation plan, that God has given her a specific role, and she's not to go outside of it. If you look at the 12 chapters between Exodus chapter 2 and Exodus chapter 15, there's no mention of Miriam. Miriam is prominent at the beginning of the story, and she's mentioned at the end of the story, but she lets her brothers, Moses and Aaron, God's appointed officers, lead the Israelites through their salvation. God has appointed them, not her, to function in the specific roles that God has given them. God uses Moses and Aaron as his appointed servants to deliver Israel. And God uses Miriam for her role to save Israel. Later on in the book of Numbers, Miriam forgets this. For in Numbers chapter 12, we read of Miriam once again. In Numbers chapter 12, we read that Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite. "Has the Lord only spoken through Moses?" they asked. "Hasn't he also spoken through us?" And the Lord heard this. Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. And at once the Lord said to Moses, "Aaron and Miriam, come out of the tent of meeting, all three of you." So the three of them came out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud. He stood at the entrance to the tent, and he summoned Aaron and Miriam. When both of them stepped forward, he said, "Listen to my words. When a prophet of the Lord is among you, I reveal myself to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" Then the anger of the Lord burned against them, and he left them. And when the cloud lifted from above the tent, there stood Miriam, leprous like snow. Miriam forgets her role and the place that God has given her. And so Miriam, when she forgets her role and she tries to take over a position that is not for her, the Lord punishes her with leprosy. As we look at the New Testament church, God has clearly revealed to us in 1 Timothy chapter 3 the specific roles of the men in the church. The men are to be the officers of the church. The elders and the deacons, 1 Timothy tells us, are to be men. But this does not downplay the significant role that women play. Without the women of the church would be greatly harmed. Without the women of the church would not be able to function as the church is called to function. God has given them a specific role. The church is not to forget them, as some conservative churches do. The church is not to skip over them, as some conservatives handle the Song of Miriam. But the women of Christ's church play a prominent role in the salvation that God gives to his people. We all have mothers. Without our mothers, we wouldn't be here. God has used them. Whether they are Christian or non-Christian, they have given us life. And as we think about Mother's Day, we think about the time that we honor our mothers for the role that they play, the role that God has given them in our lives, so that we can function and serve God. And as we think of the role of women, not only in the family, but in our churches, let us always be thankful to God for the prominent role they play. God has given them a role. God has given them an important function that they do. May we honor them and not forget to honor them, as God has promised and told us to. And may we look forward to that day where we will sing the song of Moses and the song of Miriam together, declaring the victory, the final victory of God's Son over the beast who is destroyed, as we stand by the sea of glass which is in heaven. May we never forget the song of Miriam. May we never forget the role of women in Christ's church. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this song. For Lord, it reminds us of the very important role that you have given the women of your church. For Lord, without them, your church would not be. And Lord, we thank you for the song of Miriam and the role that she played in the salvation of Israel. We thank you for Mary and the role that she played in giving birth to our Savior and in her witness at the empty tomb. And Lord, we thank you for the women of our congregation, the important role that you have given them as mothers and as women who function in the church under the authority of the men. We thank you, Lord, for them and for their witness, for their tremendous love for you, for the way that they serve you in all the things that they do. And we pray, Lord, that as men in your church who represent Christ, we may appreciate them and thank you for their role and what they do. Father, we look forward to that day when together as a congregation, men and women, we can sing forever the song of victory after you have destroyed the beast. May we as your people look forward to that day with all that is in us as we serve you together, men and women, in Christ's church. We pray this all, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.